And in our lives, we know that it's a season of mountaintops and it's a season of valleys. And none of us want to be in that valley. Some of you here today are in that valley. I want to pray for you later. But the reality is, anybody here that's on the mountaintop, you know that there is a valley coming. And I want to talk to you today about kind of going through the dark valleys of life. And I think it's important to know, because some of you are going to need to grab onto that outline. There's an outline that has some scriptures on it today. That's mainly not so you can fill in blanks, or, you know, some of you have to fill in that blank. Some of you are that type of personality that can't let that blank go. That's okay. You go ahead and fill in those blanks. But the main thing was, Kyle got those outlines ready so you could take those scriptures home with you. And you know, I really believe you're gonna need this sometime soon, because if you're at a mountaintop right now, trust me, there's a valley coming. And if you're in the valley, trust me, there's a breakthrough coming today. And I want to pray with you later today about that. But for right now, I just want to talk a little bit about valleys. And you know, it's cool because God is with us in the valley. Thank you for your enthusiasm here today. I said God's with you in the valley. Man, I'm so happy about that. That's the main thing today. We're going to talk kind of from Psalms 23, the Lord's my shepherd. And man, I always fear going to a very familiar passage of scripture, because, you know, people go, oh, I know that one. I know that one by heart. I can say all six of those scriptures. But I want to hopefully bring out some things today that will encourage you. I believe it will. I believe the Word of God is encouraging. I believe the Holy Spirit will spark some things in your heart today. But, you know, if we never go through any of these dark times, these down times, these valley seasons in our life, we'll have no depth to ourselves. And we'll kind of be like a desert. We'll just be dry and dried up. But life is a season, and we go through different seasons in life. It's a mixture of pain. It's a mixture of pleasure and happiness. It's a mixture of sometimes being down and oppressed and hurting. At other times, it feels like, you know, we're untouchable. And we go through these different seasons of life, of success and of failure, of mountaintops and valleys. So let's look at that today as we jump into this. Let me share a scripture with you, Psalm 71:12. Just kind of wanted to start with this. I'll tell you a little bit about my story. But it says, oh God, do not be so distant from me. And coming right out of Bible college, some of you guys know my testimony. I've shared a little bit of that here and there. But grew up with great parents, as you guys know. But man, we put them through Hades. And you know, man, my older brother and I specifically just, you know, gave him a hard time, but got my life right, and God touched my life and started to serve him. And after Bible college, even before I had graduated, God had opened up the door for me to go right into full-time ministry. My dad kind of helped with that. He knew a lot of people. And so moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota, was doing some Bible college over in Sweden and finished that up, and then moved back to the States. And man, right away, was loving the Lord. I'm going to change the world. 20 years old, just ready to do something big for God. And about 8 months into that, serving there at that ministry, a lot of hard work, a lot of long hours, but fulfilling, and you feel like you're making a difference. Man, it all fell apart, and the mountaintop quickly, I slid right off of that mountain, right into the valley, and the minister that I was there with fell in terrible sin, and was lying about it and not trying to be restored, and went deeper into sin, and it was terrible. So I got counsel to just, you know, get out of there and take care of yourself and roll. And as a young guy, that's what I needed to do. And so I followed that counsel. But, you know, for the next season in my life, man, I was in an extended valley, and moved back out to California, and just in a valley. And you ever feel like sometimes in life you're doing everything right, you're following the Lord, you're serving, you're giving, but nothing's happening? And I was just in this valley, in this desert, and God showed me some things during that season in my life. And I've been through other valleys, and I've been on other mountaintops. And today, man, I'm glad to say I'm up on a mountaintop, and I feel that. But I also know, and I'm smart enough to know, there's valleys coming in the future, and I'm going to be ready for those. I'm going to understand the purpose behind those valleys. I'm going to know no matter what that God's with me on the mountain, and God's with me in the valley. And he never leaves me, he never forsakes you, and same to you, same promise to you. But there's some things we can learn about valleys and some things we can learn about how to get through the valleys, and I want to minister that to you today. As we do, in Israel, there really is a place named the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And it's a steep, I've never been, but I've seen pictures of it. It's a steep, deep, narrow canyon. Possibly the one that David went right through, if not one just like it. And it's so deep and so dark, and the shadows are so heavy that the only time there's any sun that hits the ground in that valley is when the sun is directly overhead. That's how narrow it is. That's how difficult it is. And some of you guys are in a tough situation right now. You're in that valley where you don't see the sun. You don't see the sun at all. And if it comes over, you miss it because it's so quick. And you're right in that. He said it's the valley of the shadow of death. And you're in this valley covered by shadows. The enemy's called the Prince of Darkness. And he loves to keep us in the dark. He loves to keep us oppressed with shadows. He loves to keep us buried in the valley with no hope and no way out. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord is your shepherd today. God is with you. And I want to walk you through a few things. Let's go on this journey together today. So in Psalms 23, it says, even though I walk through, somebody say, I walk through. I walk through a very dark valley. I will not be afraid. As you look in the Bible, there's a lot about valleys. Look up at the screen for a minute. Joshua talked about the valley of calamity. Some of you are in the middle of a tough situation right now, a confusing situation. There's also, according to Psalms, the valley of weeping. It talks about how God will transform that. But some of you are weeping right now. Nobody wants to be weeping. Nobody wants to have that kind of discouragement and sorrow in their life where it's brought you to tears and you see no way out. There's just that valley of trouble Hosea talked about, that you just feel there's trouble and pressure and circumstances that you can't seem to change. There, it just surrounded you and you're shadowed by that. Then it gets kind of deep here. Jeremiah talks about the valley of slaughter. I don't know who Bartlesville plays next weekend, but they need to bring the valley of slaughter on them and take them out and go 9-1. I like that. But the valley of slaughter, nobody wants to be slaughtered. Nobody wants to be harassed and chased and in that type of battle. Then there's the valley of the evil hordes. Gosh, that one speaks for itself. Ezekiel talks about that. Demonic spirits and things that Satan assigns to try to take you out. Not just one of them, but a horde of them. The valley of evil hordes. Lord Jesus, be our shepherd and get us out of here. The valley of deep darkness is one we're talking about today. And then the valley of Succoth. Because every time you're in a valley, it succoths. It's in the Bible. But in our verse, that valley of the shadow of death, literally in the Hebrew, it means the valley of deep darkness. It's a valley where there's no light. It's scary. There's shadows. But I want to talk to you real quickly about five facts about valleys. Many of you probably know them. It's just a reminder to you. But you need to remember these when you're going through a tough time. Some of you right now, this is just going to speak right into your heart, I believe. The first one is valleys are inevitable. They're going to come. You're going to hit valleys. How many of you have been through a valley before? Okay. How many of you know another valley is coming? It is. And I'm not trying to have a lack of faith. I'm just saying that's part of life. That's part of what we go through. Valleys happen throughout life, sometimes right after the other. Every mountaintop experience, we know there's a valley coming. Then there's another mountain and another peak, and maybe we go a little higher, but then another valley hits, and maybe it's a low one. Maybe it's a tough one. Maybe it's a short season you go through a valley. Maybe it's an extended season you go through a valley. But we go through mountaintops and valleys. We would love for our lives to always be up and to the right, wouldn't we? Is that for you guys that way? Yeah. Up and to the right. Right? You know, like, you know, you want your finances to always go up and to the right. We think that about life. Oh, I got to be a success and keep going up to the right. But you look at our lives and it's more like this, isn't it? We go through ups and downs and seasons. Jesus himself told us about this. He was very realistic about it. In John 16, he says this, in the world, you're going to have trouble. Nudge your neighbor, say that includes you. Now he went on from that and said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But in the world, you are going to hit some trouble. There's going to be some valleys come your way. There's going to be some situations that are far from ideal. There's going to be some tough times that you're going to have to endure. It's not a matter of if it happens, it's a matter of when it happens. It's going to happen. There'll be difficulty, disappointment. There's going to be despair that's going to try to hit your life. Times of suffering and sorrow, maybe even times of sickness that hit. Times of frustration, and even when you're failing or when you're just wore out and fatigued, it's going to happen. Don't be surprised by it. Jesus is saying valleys happen. Valleys are going to happen. Here's the second one. Valleys are unpredictable. Don't they come at the worst time? How many of you have ever had a convenient flat tire? Anybody? I've never had one of those. Flat tires usually come when I'm rushing. I got to be somewhere. And man, I blow that tire, I blow that flat, and then I blow my top, and then I repent. But anyway, that's another sermon altogether. But you can't plan when a valley's coming. You're not prepared. You know, we don't seem prepared for it. One minute we're up, bam, the next minute we find ourselves flat on our face. It just happens that way. Valleys come suddenly. They're unpredictable. Have you ever noticed how a really good day can get really bad really quick? You guys know that with weather out here. I'm from Southern California, so we don't have that problem, but I grew up in Tulsa. Weather can change in a heartbeat over here, can it? It can change in a heartbeat. I remember one day it went from sun to wind to rain to hail to a little sleet and back to sun. And I thought, what in the world? That's what happens in our life sometimes. That's what happens to us. One phone call. Come on, somebody. One email. One conversation. One bit of information that we get from someone, and what happens? We find ourselves plummeting from the top of that summit where we were praising God, loving Him, down right into just knee deep in a valley. And it can happen quick. Jeremiah talks about this, chapter 4, verse 20. Disaster follows disaster. I bet none of you have that up on a plaque in your house, do you? We have these scripture plaques, you know. I don't really, but some of you guys do. And it's cool. But no, you never see that one at Mardell's, do you? Disaster. Oh, I need to buy that. Disaster follows. Look at the pretty design on that. Disaster follows disaster. People dying and falling. No, we don't have that. What does he say? In an instant, my tents are destroyed. You know what that makes me think of? It makes me reflect on Job. You know the story? It's in the Bible. It's not the book of Job. Some of you need to find the book of Job. But this is the book of Job. It's the book of Job. And what happened to Job? What happened to Job was in an instant, he lost all 10 of his kids. In an instant, he lost all of his property, all of his wealth. And he found himself, in the deepest of deep, dark valleys. But it's what can happen in our life. In an instant, something can be destroyed. Something can fall in a moment. Here's the third thing. Valleys are impartial. You know, the enemy doesn't care who he attacks. He just wants to attack a believer. He just wants to attack anybody. He wants to make your life a living hell. Thank God that Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly, even though the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he wants to put you smack dab. Valleys are impartial. It doesn't matter who you are, what type of degrees you have, how much of the word you know, how nice you are to your wife. It doesn't matter. Valleys are impartial. It hits us all at different times. And no one is immune to these. No believer is insulated from pain and sorrow. No one gets to skate through life problem-free. Everybody has problems. Good people, bad people. Problems, trials, difficulties, disturbances. Call it any name you want. Downtimes, depression. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're living. And you're on this fallen planet. But the good news is the Lord's our shepherd. The good news is we have someone to go to. We have someone with us. And just means that you're a person. It doesn't mean you're evil. You know, back in the day, it was kind of like, whoa, man, you brought this problem came in your life. You got some sin in your life, brother? No, I'm just alive. I'm just living. I'm not perfect, but I'm just living. But man, this just happened to me, and I can't tell you why or how. And it doesn't matter why or how. What matters is, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to move through it? And Jesus talked about this. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. When we go through a difficult time, the first reaction, isn't it? It's usually, why me? Some of us might not say it, but we all think it. And that thing hits our life, and what do? We say, why me? You know what? Knowing that valleys are coming, knowing that valleys are a part of life, you know what we really should say is, why not me? Now, we'll never say that, but we should say that. We should think that, hey, this is just a part of life. It's a part of what we go through down here. Hey, one day everything will be fully restored and fully perfect, but that's not this day. That's not this moment right now, because I'm in a valley, and it's dark, and the darkness is deep, and there's shadows. There's fear trying to come against my life. But one day there'll be none of that, but today there is some of that. And we need to understand that it's not about being good or bad. It rains on all of us here. Remember, this is not heaven yet. Things are not perfect here. Things will never be perfect here until He turns this thing brand new. Until there's a new heaven and a new earth. It will not be perfect. There will be valleys. There will be problems. Disasters and tragedies happen to good people, happen to Christian people, happen to you, and they happen to me. Here's the fourth thing. Here's good news. Valleys are temporary. Valleys are not God's best for our life. They're not God's designed to be able to keep us there and teach us some lesson. He wants us to go through there. God doesn't cause these valleys in our life either. He uses these valleys to build us. But he doesn't cause these. There's an end to these valleys, thank God. They're just a season. We'll go through it. It's a circumstance that is subject to change and will change. We've got to go through it. 1 Peter 1:6 talks about this. Look up at the board. It says, there is a wonderful joy ahead, speaking of heaven, even though the going is rough for a while down here, speaking of earth. So where we're going, man, there's wonderful joy ahead. But down here, there's some rough times. There's some rough seasons we're going to have to go through. He admits there, we're going to all have to go through tough times. Life's going to be rough. Life's going to be tough. Life's not going to be perfect. Life's not going to be just up on the mountaintops. There's a wonderful joy ahead, heaven. There's problems down here. There's valleys, dark days. That's earth. We're going to be harassed down here. There's going to be challenges. But with the Lord with us, we're going to move through those. 2 Corinthians 4:17, our troubles are short-lived, and there is an eternal glory which outweighs them all. It won't last. That valley will end. But there's a benefit to these problems if we can respond in the right way. There's something God can teach us in those valley seasons of life. He can build character in us. Let's talk about number 5 here. Valleys are purposeful. There is a God purpose behind you being in that situation that you're in right now. God could have prevented it because he's God, but he didn't prevent it because he's God, and he's going to work in you the character of his son, Jesus Christ. That valley that you're going through is an opportunity for you to build your faith. How do you get strong? Through resistance. How do you get stronger? Through more resistance. How do you get even stronger than that? Even more resistance. And you keep resisting and you keep things moving in your life. And let me tell you something. God's purpose behind this valley is to strengthen you. He's not trying to bury you in that valley. He doesn't want that valley to be an extended rut that becomes a grave. He wants that valley to be a training ground for you to get stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might. That valley is an opportunity for you not just to talk about God, but that valley is an opportunity for you to talk to God face to face directly. That valley is an opportunity for you not to just know about Scripture. That valley for you is to confess Scripture with every conviction that is in your heart. And you need to be able to believe God that you're going to move through that tough time. You're going to move through this season. You need to believe God that this is a temporary thing, but there's also a purpose behind it. And God is doing something in you as you are moving through that valley. Come on, somebody. Valleys are purposeful. It's not by accident. It says it happens to prove your faith. God wants to build you up during this season. Getting on our knees and humbling ourselves. Learning that we are prideful people. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We are a prideful people, a stubborn people that we need to repent from. And we need to, let me tell you something. You need to get humble in those valleys. Man, there's a lost art of laying before God. Getting as low as we can go, laying down before God, kneeling and bowing before him, saying, God, you are everything. I don't take a breath if you don't let me breathe my next breath. And having that fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Having his favor, needing his favor, thanking him for his favor when we can't feel him around, when he feels a million miles away. I'm telling you, that's the kind of heart that God wants us to have during those valley seasons. Because many times when we're up on the mountain, we kind of forget about him. Oh, we praise him a little, but we don't praise him because we have to. We praise him because it's kind of time to praise him in church. Let me tell you, when you're in the valley, you're having to praise him because you got to. Because you got no choice. You're calling for him. He's got to show up. Every problem has a purpose in your life, even the little ones. Faith is built in the valley seasons of life. You know that God is far more interested in your character than he is in your comfort? You know that God is far more interested in holiness than he is in happiness? Now, the good news is when you're holy, you're happy. But God wants that character built. God wants that holiness built. God wants that fear of him built in a healthy way in our life. And I want to encourage you today. These valleys have a purpose that you're going through. Let me ask you this. Was Jesus exempt from suffering? Not a bit, was he? Suffered way more than we ever will have to. Absolutely not. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus go through seasons of loneliness? Absolutely. Did he do anything to deserve that? No. Was Jesus falsely accused and mocked? Was Jesus betrayed? Was Jesus stabbed in the back? Did people desert Jesus and leave him? Yeah, they did. But God can turn different things and valleys, situations around, can he? Look at the life of Jesus Christ. Man, he will break. It doesn't matter what's happened, what valley you've gone through. There's not a valley that can hold you down. There's not a valley that can keep you from the mountaintop. There's not a point that you're at right now in your life that God can't break you through. He's the master of the breakthrough. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. In the name of the Lord. God can use accidents and tragedies for good. Does that mean he caused them? No, absolutely not. But he will turn what the enemy meant for harm for good. And he will turn your situation around. Some of you need a breakthrough this week. Some of you need a breakthrough right now. We're going to pray for breakthrough at the end of the service. Some of you need to start stirring up your heart right now to get a hold of that breakthrough. You know what I found in my life? People want a breakthrough who really want it. You can get a breakthrough if you really want it. You know, when you get that kind of bulldog faith where you latch onto it, isn't there a team around here called the Bulldoggers? Who's that? Okay, I'll be careful. There might be some Dewey folks here. You got to get some bulldogger faith, though. I'm not sure you need to root for him, but you need to get some bulldogger faith. What does that mean? That bulldog latches onto something and will not let go. You need some pit bull faith where you latch onto a promise of God and nothing can shake you off of that. God will turn what the enemy's meant for harm for your good. Wow. He can definitely use these valleys of life to do some incredible things in your life. So let's finish with this. What do you do? What do I do when we find ourselves in the middle of these dark valleys? Three things are crystal clear out of Psalms 24. Here's what David said. He said, I will fear no evil. That's number one. Number two, for you are with me. And the last one, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I realize this is very simple this morning. I think simple is good. I think simple is powerful. But here's the first thing as we look at that portion of Scripture. Number one, refuse to be discouraged. He said, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to let evil, I'm not going to let discouragement, I'm going to not let fear come on my life. That's what David says to a Christian that puts their faith in God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I walk through it, I don't run through it. I don't panic, I don't run the other way. I walk, that means I calmly and deliberately make steps through this valley. David says, I'm not going to be afraid when I go through this valley. I'm going to calmly walk through it very purposefully, and I will not fear any evil. I will not be afraid each step that I take because my God is with me. He says that I walk through there and refuse to be discouraged. You can't go around the valley, and that might try to discourage you. You can't just snap your fingers and say some quick prayer and get out of that valley. Beam me up, Scotty. Scotty's not up there to beam you up. And God's not going to beam you up. He's up there, but he's not going to beam you up because he's got a purpose for you to go through this. And it's going to build in your heart something so strong, something you can't get any other way. We got to refuse to be discouraged. We can't go under this valley. We can't go over this valley. We've got to go through it. And as we go through it, we need to remember, I will not fear. I will not be discouraged. If you are discouraged here this morning, it's because you have chosen to be discouraged. Discouragement is a choice. Encouragement is a choice. David said, when I had no one else around me to encourage me, you know what he said? I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm going to stir myself up. When my whole team has left me and I've got nothing else, no one else, let me tell you something. You've got the greatest thing you need. You've got God on the inside of you. You can stir it up and start to bring encouragement. Bring it up out of the well. Stir up the joy of salvation. You got nothing else to thank God for right now in your life. You thank him that Jesus Christ gave his life for you. You stir up the joy of your salvation and you encourage yourself in the Lord. If you're discouraged today, you've chosen to be there. So have it. It's your choice. Stay at it. Stay discouraged. Stay down. No, don't do that. I'm kind of trying to get after you a little, okay? Just trying to stir you up a little bit. Get mad at me. Get mad at something. Get mad at the enemy. Just get fired up and do something. Quit being discouraged. You choose to be discouraged. Discouragement is a choice, an act of our will. We choose to look at the negative. They develop photography in a dark room. The enemy tries to develop these evil thoughts in darkness, in the valley of the shadow. these evil things that he's trying to get you to buy into, and that fear, it thrives in the dark. Evil things grow in the dark. And when you choose to be, when you choose to be discouraged, you choose to be in a dark room. You got to throw that wide, that door wide open and say, let the light of Jesus Christ shine in here. And what happens when that light hits those photo negatives? It ruins them. The light comes in and penetrates the darkness. And those thoughts that were trying to get you down, now they're exposed, and the Lord says, let me take care of those. Let's get that off your life. You start to encourage yourself. You choose not to look at Christ or the positive things that he has for us. We're choosing all the negatives. It's our choice. And you know what? You can choose to change too. We don't change because we choose not to change. How do I choose not to be discouraged? I focus on God's power, not my problems. How do I get encouraged? I look at the Word. Your Word encourages me. David said, your Word revives me. When I'm feeling dark and down, when I'm in that valley, I get in the Word, and guess what? The Word starts to work. The Word's alive. It's living. It's powerful. Something's happening. He's oxygenating my soul with His Spirit and with His Word. Something's taking place. I might not see it. I might not even see any change, but let me tell you, something is changing. Something's happening. Something's going on in my life. You know when the best time is to pray? When you don't feel like praying. You know what? Prayer's going to change you, and it's going to change things. And let me tell you something. Discouraged people don't care to pray. Discouraged people are too discouraged to get in the Word. Discouraged people just sit there and watch TV and just soak in a bunch of junk. I'm for TV, and I got some shows I like to watch, but let me tell you, when you're discouraged, how easy is it just to kick back, channel surf, watch stuff we shouldn't be watching, watch some stupid stuff? And let me tell you something else. Some of you are so, let me tell you, I love football, I love sports, but some of you, you get discouraged when your team loses. Let me ask you this. Were you out on that field playing? How you doing? How you doing today? I say to someone, oh, my team lost, Pastor. Your team? What? Okay. So sorry, your team got beat. You know, yeah, they're 6-7 now. Oh, Lord. You know, would you get a life? And would you realize that we're fighting the fight of faith here? And, you know, football is pretty cool. I love to watch it. But, you know, there's more to life than being discouraged because your team lost. Let me see. Jesus won. And I think there's something to be happy about there. Oh, but my team lost. Get a life. Please. Come on, ladies. That's a good opportunity for you to hit an amen there. Oh, honey, don't feel like doing the chores. My team lost. Don't feel like hanging out with you tonight. My team lost. I just need some time alone. My goodness. Jesus, help us. Look at Colossians 1:11. God will strengthen you with his own great power, his power, so that you will not give up when trouble comes, but you will be patient. Human energy, human strength runs out, but God's strength never runs out. It's an eternal strength that he strengthens us with. And after a while of being in that valley, you feel like you don't have any energy left, not even to take a step. But that's where, when our human energy and strength runs out, his kicks in. In fact, let's not even let ours run out. Let's just always live in his strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Psalms 34 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those that are crushed in spirit. Don't go through the valley in your own power. Let God's power come in. Here's the second thing. Remember that God is with me. David said, for you will be with me. David reminds us God's with us every moment. God reminds us that God's power and promises are still at work in our life in the valley. He promises his presence to us. When we can't feel his power, when we can't see his promises, we need to understand his presence is with us. And even though we think we need anything else, all we really need is him. He's with us. God says, I will be with you. You'll never go through a valley alone. You'll never go through a dark valley alone. Isaiah 43:2, one of my favorite scriptures. Look at this. This is powerful. It says, when you go through, there it is again, we're going through the valley. God's will for us is to go through it, to move through it. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, God says himself, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, they're trying to drown you. He says, no, I'm with you. You're not going to drown. Then there's another type of trial, probably the worst of them all. It says, you're going to have to go through the fire. You're going to have to go through a tough valley. But what does he say? You're going to be fine. it won't burn you up. When you go through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. I got good news for you. You are not going to drown. You are not going to burn up, and you are not going to die. You're going to go through this valley. You're going to go through this season in your life. And there's a mountaintop waiting for you. Let me tell you what it also gives you when we go through these valleys. It gives you a much better appreciation for the mountaintops. It gives us a heart to praise Him through the good and the bad, and to seek Him no matter what. It's interesting, David in verse 4 here in Psalm, something happens in the language if you really look at it. And in the first few verses, David is talking, and all the pronouns are in the third person. He says things, he talks about God, he says like, He leads me beside still waters, He guides me into green pastures. He restores my soul. David is talking about God. He is doing this. But look what happens when he gets in the valley. But when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, it changes into this second person pronoun. He doesn't any longer talk about God. He starts talking to God. Look at it with me. You are with me. Not He is God, but now you are here and you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's in the valleys that bring us face to face with God. All of a sudden, the ultimate becomes the intimate. God is with us. We're face to face with the Creator. He's in the valley with you, friend. He's there with you. And it becomes real. When we go through the valley, we don't just talk about God. We got to talk to God. It's not about being some religious person or being into religion. It's about being into a relationship with the Creator of the universe. And as a mature believer, when you go through that, your closest times, if you'd be honest, our closest times that we feel to God is when we're going through the tough times, the valleys, the wildernesses, the dusty places, the tough seasons, when we feel spent and depleted and perplexed and we don't know what to do. And we call out on God, then we realize it's going to be okay because we're not alone. He's there. He's with us. Here's the last thing. Number three, we've got to rely, David said, on God's protection and guidance. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David reminds us, too, that he was a shepherd, and then he reminds us that God is our shepherd. The rod and the staff were the two basic tools of that shepherd in David's day. And that rod was about a 2-foot, pretty heavy, kind of like a mini little billy club thing, and it had a knot on the end of it. And that shepherd would take that rod. In the Old West, they called the gun a rod. But that shepherd would take that rod, and he was a master with that. And when there was a threat against one of the sheep, he would take that rod and he would hurl it. And we know David was pretty good at throwing stuff at enemies, don't we? That's a whole other story. But he took that and he hurled it. And he'd hurl that rod and that rod would fly through the air. I mean like 100-mile-an-hour fastball. And it would hit that enemy. And that enemy wouldn't just be bruised. It could have a broken bone. It could have something go terribly wrong and that enemy would flee. And David said, God, it's your rod. It's your rod, your protection for me. It's your rod that you're using. Then it's your staff. When I start to wander off, when I'm not on the right track, when I'm going the wrong way in the valley, the wrong way in life, your staff comes around me, curved, and gets me by the neck, and it pulls me back in line. Because God, you're not a God that's just apathetic and unconcerned about my life. You're a shepherd that's going to hurt the enemy on my behalf and make the enemy flee, but you're also going to jerk me back in line. And you're going to pull me closer to you because whom the Lord loves, He corrects. And you're going to correct my steps and get me back where I need to be. The Lord is my shepherd. Your rod and your staff bring comfort to me. You protect me, God. You defend me. Thank you. You're not sitting up in heaven, oblivious to what's going on in my life. You're with me in this valley. Let me tell you something, friend. The good shepherd fights for you. The good shepherd guides you. He's going with you through the valley, through all the scary parts of the shadows. Think about shadows for a minute as we close. Aren't shadows always bigger than reality? You know, as a kid, you used to kind of make a shadow. It was always cool if you could get the right thing and you make yourself look huge. Whoa! you're not really that big, but that shadow makes it look bigger. That's what the enemy tries to do. It makes those shadows look big. How many of you have ever been hurt by a shadow? You've been run over by a shadow, anybody? Please don't raise your hand. A shadow can't run you over, can it? You ever been hit with a left cross from shadow boxing? No, you can't get hurt from a shadow. And the enemy tries to blow these things up in our life to try to get us under that shadow, to get us under fear. But I will not fear. Why? I'm comforted that the Lord is fighting for me, that he is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I don't have to be afraid of the shadows. Here's the last thing about shadows. There's no shadow without some big light somewhere. And the good news is we know where that big light is shining from. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. So whatever shadow I'm in right now, it means that there's a big light about ready to break open. The Lord is the light of my life. He's my light. He's my salvation. When you're afraid, don't look at the shadow. Turn in the exact opposite direction. Turn away from your problem and turn into the promise. Turn away from the fear and turn into faith. Turn away from the enemy's plan and submit to God's plan. It's our choice. It depends what we're looking at. Psalms 34:19, the good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too. But look at this. But the Lord helps him in each and every one. Oh, that's a good scripture. From these stories, we know Christians go through valleys just like everybody else. Christians have disappointments. Christians get sick. Christians experience tragedies. Christians lose loved ones. Christians have financial problems, health problems, marital challenges, family problems. Believers go through valleys just like everybody else goes through valleys. But there's a difference. Let me tell you something, friend. There is a big difference. Psalms 46, 1 and 7 reveals it. God is our mighty fortress, always ready to help in times of trouble. No matter what valley, no matter what trouble I'm in, God fights for me. God protects me. Why? The Lord's my shepherd. I said the Lord's my shepherd. The difference is that while believers and non-believers may go through the same valleys in life, the difference is for the Christian, it's not the absence of the shadow, but it is the presence of the shepherd. The Lord is with you. The shepherd is with you. As we close, look at this. Hosea 2:15a. What a great promise to pray over you guys, to pray over our lives. God's speaking here. He says, I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. Some of you are ready for that right now. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And it's really not just for yourself. It's for that person next to you. Give that person just a little bit of space and do focus in on your own heart right now. What's going on in your life right now? I'm here to tell you, God wants to inject your heart with hope. He wants to reassure you today that he's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. With no one else looking around, I want to pray for some people today. We'll pray for everybody here, but specifically a few people right now. If you're in the middle of a valley, or if you're still working your way through that valley, or if you feel like you just got hit with a valley and you just entered it, and you know there's some shadows around, and man, there's opportunity right now to fear, there's opportunity right now to be discouraged, there's opportunities right now just to throw in the towel and give up, I want to pray with you. And I want God, by his Spirit today, just to wrap his arms around you. I want the shepherd. I want you to feel his presence and to know that because you've got him, you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to move right through it. He's going to be with you. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you just quickly to stand right where you are. Just stand right in front of your seat. Go ahead really quickly, because then I want to pray with you. Remember, it takes honesty and humility to get a breakthrough. That's the starting point of God moving in our hearts, when we're honest and when we're humble. No one looking around. Nobody looking around. Thank you. I'm going to give people just another few seconds. There's a few more of you. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your heart. Trust me, it's in your benefit to get something from God today, to let him do something in your life. God's going to do something in all our hearts and already has. there's a few of you that you got to have God show up right now. And that's who I want to pray with. Who else? There's a few more of you. I'm just going to ask you to quickly stand. And I want to start praying. Thank you. Thanks for responding. It's another 10 seconds. If you want to stand, this is your last opportunity. Just go ahead and stand up. Get in on this prayer. As a few less people are standing, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Keep your eyes closed. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. You can continue to stand if you need to. 27, 28, 29, 30. 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. Anybody else? This is it. Let's pray. Father, I lift up these 39 or 40 people to you right now. Father, I remind us that we are your sons and your daughters. You are a loving Father. God, you are an awesome shepherd. We're the sheep of your pasture. Father, we thank you. Your word says, you are our shepherd, we shall not lack. But Father, right now we're in the middle of a valley and we lack peace, we lack encouragement, we lack wisdom. Father, some of us feel stuck here today. Some of us feel buried under these shadows. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak breakthrough over your life. I speak that the Lord is with you and you shall not be afraid. We cast the spirit of fear off of our minds, away from our lives, away from our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you rise up and your light, Father, disperses those shadows. In Jesus' name, I speak your encouragement, God, over your people. I'm going to ask you, if you're standing, just lift a hand up to the Lord. Lord, we lift our hands up to you and we reach out for you right now. Let's do that. Come on, reach out for him. Lord, I just reach up and we grab you. Lord, you're our shepherd. We need you. We honor you, Lord. We praise you. Lord, we know you didn't cause this valley, but Father, you can get us through this valley. And we worship your name and we honor you, Lord. Bring comfort to every heart right now. Holy Spirit, you are our comforter. Bring comfort and peace right into the middle of this storm, right into the middle of this valley. And I'm here to tell you, friend, you're going to start taking steps in the right direction, and the Lord is going to lead you. Just whisper that out. Say, Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, you're my shepherd. I shall not lack. And Lord, I thank you. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let's just continue in this vein for just a moment, and then just a short while before we leave.